Thank you for listening to the Reroll Podcast. The world of Rell and all characters within are copyright and fictitious. Any similarities to persons, living or dead, or actual events are purely coincidental. Reroll Gaming uses trademarks and or copyrights owned by Paizo Inc. Used under Paizo's community use policy, we are expressly prohibited from charging you to use or access this content. Reroll Gaming is not published, endorsed, or specifically approved by Paizo. For more information about Paizo Inc. and Paizo products, visit paizo.com. Want to follow us on social media, listen to another episode, or send us hate mail? Check out our link tree for all our info. You can find that link in the episode description. Big thanks to Tabletop Audio for producing quality RPG music and ambiance that we can use in our games. The Reroll main theme and all character themes are copyright Zane Gehring. The Chronicles of Rell theme and Frequency theme are copyright Tanner Prentice. Please consider donating to our Patreon or Ko-fi if you liked our content. We are hell-bent on making more, and with your support, we can make a lot more. And leave us a review wherever you heard this episode. New episodes every Monday at 12 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. See you then.
Have any of you guys ever been spelunking?
No.
God, no, I wish.
God, it's, no. Like, I would never do that.
Yeah, me either.
I feel like we've talked about this before, but we can talk about it again.
I know, I've heard
it's
the
a,
word.
It's a sex thing.
But is it like, is it just cliff, like rock climbing?
No.
No, it's like cave diving.
Cave diving. No,
it's like underwater cave diving, isn't it?
Yeah, that's the underwater cave diving, right? No.
Not necessarily. It's like splunking is just, I think, just cave exploration.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, fuck cave. No. Like
the underwater
diving.
Cave
that
stuff would
stupid.
Freak me out.
Yeah, I'm not doing that.
The above water stuff would freak me out too. Fuck that.
The extent of my spelunking like engagement was the time that me and Raf went out to like a cave in Eastern Washington, and it was like a really easy casual cave, and we still managed to get lost somehow. It was like just us, and like we had this like one tiny flashlight. And for about 5 minutes, we're just like, "Are we gonna die in here?" I'm like, "Am I gonna die because Raf got me lost in a cave?"
Pretty good chance.
Probably, because that sounds pretty plausible.
I don't think I would mind the spelunking part of it. Like, that sounds fun, but I would fear all the creatures in the cave. Like
bats,
bats,
right?
Yeah.
I mean, there's
and
generally
spiders.
Not a whole lot living in caves.
Mainly bats
I mean,
and
like
spiders.
There's
maybe some
rodents.
Some tailless whip
scorpions.
If you go
deep into a cave,
if you go deep into the cave, though,
it's rodents.
Not like very, very, very few. There's not enough bugs down there for rodents to even want to go down there to eat. And
what
bugs generally eat rodent
water?
Shit. So, like,
if there's water, there might be like crustaceans and various things, but those things probably haven't actually evolved in any significant way in like hundreds of thousands
of fungi.
Millions of
I feel
years.
Like there's got to be a lot of life still, even if you go down deep.
I mean,
I don't know,
there,
there's no sunlight.
There is some.
Fungi,
like, maybe to a biologist,
insects,
it would be a lot. But, like, it's not, there's not as many creepy crawlies and critters and stuff as you would think. Even just in, it's not like the best cave that I've ever been in was the lava tubes up by Mount St. Helens. I believe they're called ape caves, but don't quote me on that. There's, like, one, you basically start at this big metal staircase, and you can either go like a mile down one way or like 7 miles the other way. And I've done both ways. But like the 7 mile way, like the 1 mile way just ends at there's just like a hole with dirt in it. I don't know. Maybe if you dug it out, you'd find more cave, but probably not. And if you go the other way, there are like mini cliffs in there. Like there's a spot where you like come out into this big ass cavern. And there's a huge rock on your left, like 25 feet tall and probably like 100 feet long. And you're like, wow, that's a cool way to like border the cave. But then if you climb up on top of it, you realize that there's a whole other like mini cave system just hiding behind this rock. And I don't know. There's just a bunch of spots like that through there. I've always wanted to go back again.
I always think of The Descent and I'm like, no.
Yeah,
it's not
actually
like that.
On a morbid take, too, like, because there's such a difference or a lack of biodiversity the further down you go, if you die in a cave super deep, does your body, like, break down, like, differently or slower because nothing's there to really, like, eat it?
Probably slower because it's definitely colder and drier than the outside environment.
Yeah.
Like, deep in a cave, most of the moisture, if there isn't running water, has soaked into the rock before it gets down to you. So, like, it's surprising how dry your throat will get down there.
I do think it would depend on the cave, too. Like, if it got really tight,
Oh yeah, fuck
I could
that.
See claustrophobia being an issue.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The minute that I have to like squeeze through something in a cave, I'm out. That's immediately love the idea of spelunking, but no.
That's
like,
immediately.
Or if the air feels like too stale, like it's harder to breathe, I might not like that. I've just never done it, so I don't know if it like how
we're a bunch of nerds and we're like
Well, like on a cosmic level, though, there's like few things. I mean, there's signs in nature. A big, bright, like colorful tree frog. Don't touch that shit. It's gonna poison you. Me as a human, if I get to a point where I can barely, if not at all, fit through a part of the cave, my brain's me like, cool, I'm not meant to go in there, so I'm going to go fuck off and do something else and respect nature.
I definitely wouldn't if I didn't think I could fit, but like even just like somewhat smaller, I feel like might be difficult.
Yeah.
I mean, it's weird to crawl in like such a rocky and just like foreign environment where you know that like, okay, first and foremost, don't fucking smack your head, because if your headlamp dies, you are in the dark, and that's the way
darkest dark that has ever darked.
There's no light to tell you which way you just came from, and like you would be surprised laying there in the dark. And my flashlight batteries actually did die while I was kind of in a like crawl spot. You would be surprised just laying there how fast you can lose your sense of orientation. Like I was trying to turn around because there was a spot like 10 feet behind me where I would have an easier time getting into my bag and changing the batteries. And like, I gave up on trying to figure out which way it was, because in the process of turning myself 180, I was like, shit, I might have just made a full turn. I have no idea. There's no sound. There's no light. I don't know. That is
so cool. And I deeply am like super humbled by that notion, which is just like furthers my fascination and fear of like that type of environment.
Yeah.
Speaking of the type of environment deep underground that could potentially be a place where your body might decay at a slower rate because of how dry and just unlivable the conditions are, you guys last left off on your first step on a journey into Subterranea. And where we're going to pick up is right outside the lift of Bronzehammer. Let me get some music going on. It is the same lift, believe it or not.
Oh, wait. Before we get into combat, I don't know where we're going, but just in case, can we roll to see if Bo knows what those potions are?
Oh, yeah. I forgot.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, sure. Why don't you give me a crafting check?
Or just assume after 4 days of being able to look them over.
Where'd you get these potions again?
Were they in the place where Groth died, I think?
Yeah, I think you're right.
The tannery?
Tannery.
I can tell you the description if you want.
Yeah, tell me the description real quick.
So one of them looks empty but feels full.
That's right. Okay.
I wonder what that one is.
I know what both of them are.
And the second one is a clear liquid with golden speck. A golden speck or multiple golden specks?
Multiple golden specks. Or no, a single golden speck, sorry. Okay. You know, what'd you roll, Beau?
I did it.
Guidance.
But okay. I will.
What are you, you know what? I'll just tell you. You've had a couple days here. You could have taken it to a shop, whatever. One of them is a potion of dragon breath.
Cool.
And it is a gold dragon. The other one is a potion of invisibility.
Okay. Is that going in back in the bag of holding, or?
I always think potions should be on someone in case we need them.
Okay.
It is, a young potion of dragon breath young for adding it to your inventory.
Maybe. Actually, Bo could probably decide who should hold on to him.
I feel like Frost should have the dragon one, because he'd be like a little dragon. I think that'd be cool.
It's on brand, yeah.
Then the invisibility.
Honestly, invisibility is kind of two schools of thought, right? It can also work really well for somebody who's not good at stealth, because it like makes up for that deficit.
Is it lesser? So it's probably, is that the minute one?
It is the lesser one, yes.
So it'd be more of like a combat situation. Yeah. So in that case, I always think is good for
try to get the drop on somebody.
Rogue for sneak attack.
Right.
Yeah, I would say whoever can have it, Bo definitely won't. It wouldn't really be Bo's thing. So if you want to fight over it, you can. Or you just give it to Star.
I think Star should have it, personally.
Yeah.
Okay.
So put those in your inventory, because I'm taking them out of the bank.
You got that, Star?
What did I just get? Two spells? One spell?
One. You just got one potion of invisibility.
Potion of invisibility.
Lesser, I think, right?
Yeah.
Lesser. Okay.
And then Frost, you have the other one.
Potion of gold dragon breath.
Mm-hmm. Young.
Which will be a 15-foot cone of fire, by the way.
I did, nice. When we were shopping, I did find a couple things that did dragon breath, and I thought about Frost every time, too.
Is it a single attack?
I think it's a two action.
Or, I mean, like, I drink the potion immediately.
Yeah, I think like, it's have a one.
Okay, cool. So I do have, Frost Kobold Breath. That'd be cool to have, cool.
Frost and fire.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
This doesn't have an option for lesser or whatever. It just says invisibility potion.
I think that's right.
Okay.
Cinder, why do you keep getting temporary hit points? Is that an ability you have?
Because I have a ring.
Yeah.
The stalwart ring.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Yeah. I didn't know that's what it was. I thought it was like leftover from like a spell or something. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Cool.
I am going to get rid of my drain finally after like a billion years.
Nice.
Oh, yay!
Everybody's got
hell
blood.
Yeah, party.
You did it.
Do you want to roll two crafting checks there? No, you're staying 4 days, so roll three crafting checks for those potions.
Which potions?
And just to like say, maybe like after we get the first batch of disguise, maybe do the health ones first.
You guys told me you were doing 4 days in the city to do the potion disguise.
Yeah.
That's set in stone. She can craft the health potions as she goes.
I just worry that, like, I think we all put them in our inventory already.
Well.
Wait, so I'm rolling a roll for each potion?
Each day. You're doing, because you wanted to do four batches, right?
I don't know. Is that what Kiaran wanted me to do?
I think so.
Yeah.
Okay,
so give me three crafting checks.
Okay, the first one's a 19, which I don't think...
And you said you were aiding?
I was giving guidance, so plus one.
So plus one. So 20, that's a fail. Next one.
Okay.
So you don't lose the money if you fail, you just don't complete it.
30.
That's a success.
26.
That's a success.
Okay.
So... You can do this off air, but distribute, what is 3. That, 12?
Oh.
Each batch is 4 potions, so 12.
Those are probably just keeping in the bag.
Okay, 12 potions. Okay, sure. Following Cinder's lead, you all are headed back towards the lift. And out front, this lift that leads you to the surface or deeper into the mountain, a large goat, the same breed as Brunhilde, but with a deep black fur, stands with Julie Hornstone as she spots you, Cinder, and waves you down.
Didn't expect you to be giving us a personal send-off, Julie.
Well, I just thought I would come and wish you good luck. And I hope you remember what we talked about the other night.
Naturally, she kind of like puts her fist up to her chest.
She repeats the same, and she says, be careful, Stone Sister.
And
that's nice.
Sir?
I said, that's nice.
This goat is stout and strong, with numerous saddlebags that hold rations enough for a week for each of you. It also comes with climbing pittance, all sorts of supplies like rope, some fresh water.
But grappling hooks?
Grappling hook. We'll say a grappling hook's in there. And you are free to name this goat whatever you'd like. It is a young goat that has been trained for this purpose. Maybe not explicitly this purpose, but for an expedition of sorts. And it is a strong stuffed stout goat.
Ham sandwich.
Gussie. You will be named ham sandwich next week's dinner.
So is it pussy or ham sandwich?
Gussie.
Gussie? No, it's not.
Is it, so it's a goat with a cart?
No, not a cart, just a bunch of saddlebags.
Okay. Geraldine.
It is a male, by the way.
Yeah, Geraldine.
Yeah. Nice gender short. Neutral name.
Reba McIntyre.
Fern.
Fern.
We'll figure it out on the road. We got plenty of time.
Yeah, it will come to us.
Yeah. That's what Jimothy. Said about our group name.
Right. To be fair, I've rejected the group name you've given me.
Sure, aren't we? That's why he just never asks what our group name is anymore.
Yeah, you've defeated me.
All right, so we're swinging through Inara's Grove real quick, and then...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's on the way.
Real quick on the way, yeah.
Well, that is
the goat's
almost...
name is Inara's Grove.
Yeah.
That's gonna get confusing. That is almost what happens, but... Before going to Subterranea, you do have a stop to make in the Forge Heart. A deal you have made with these dwarves in order to pass through. Yig awaits your arrival as you approach the lift, vigilant and unwavering as ever. His completely ironclad form is impossible to read. And Cinder and Bo, you guys speak dwarvish, right? Correct?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Right.
Dwarfish.
Dwarfish. Stop it. Pros Alfred sin nur habt sie Forgeheart. Rune hast kann urbe beißen Planeswalker. And he points at Star. He says, you are to travel to the Forgeheart. We need your help, Planeswalker.
Star just kind of shocked that, anyone else knew about that? She's like, I'll do my best.
The lift translate for you.
The lift shifts as Yig twists his fantastical axe three notches in the floor. Kung, kung, kung. It begins to descend and descend and descend and descend into the mountain. Passing by carved, smooth stone tunneled out millennia ago, you continue to pass as you come across a massive reinforced gate, sealing Subterranea from the city. But you descend even further than that. You go down until orange light starts to illuminate beneath the floor. You feel the rising heat in the magma that is moving far beneath your lift. Going down closer and closer, it finally comes to a halt. And ahead of you lies an open metal walkway over the caldera of lava and obsidian.
Run mit Tog.
Yig nods as he says, go with Tog. Let me put you on the map here.
Quick before Frost walks off the lift, he's just gonna give him like a knowing, like, nice fucking axe. Oh, like tap his own.
Thanks, bro.
Axe bros.
Hey.
As we're walking out to you might hear Kieran mumble under her breath, back into the fire, and you see some of that like tension that has maybe faded since you first met her enter back into her body.
Frost looks hot.
Yeah.
So hot right
Frost
now.
Frost is probably not doing too well.
I think everybody's probably pretty sweaty.
Not, Bo's not. He just wants to stand out. Yeah.
In fact, it says so here in my notes. The air here is hot. But the stone beneath you is cool to the touch. The stonework and design reminds you all of the Temple of Dusk and Dawn. Monastic in a way. The entrance leads in three directions, all of which end at a steel door. To the left, two stone statues of a dwarf stand flanking a narrow pathway over the lava below, mirroring the right path, though those statues represent some sort of massive bird. Ahead of you clearly leads to the main chamber, where a grandiose door stands in opposition. Which way are you heading?
We're jumping the lava.
Oh, okay, that's
it's
interesting.
So left was... Can you repeat it again?
Left... Okay, real quick, you guys can't see past these, right?
No.
No.
Okay, good.
Oh, there's a map.
Yes. So to the left, two statues here of a dwarf facing.
Octavia, are you pinging right now?
I'm pinging. Black?
Okay, never mind. It's just, I'm wondering why that one's moving so slow, too. I was like, is Octavia doing like a slow ping with her slow dice?
No. I mean, I'm also doing slow pings.
I guess everybody's slow. Sorry, please continue.
It's the size of the map and the occlusion and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you might have to zoom in because it's a little bit of a bigger map. Excellent. Everybody click on Frost.
I can't click
nothing.
Him.
Nothing.
Circle. Nothing. Yeah, nothing happens.
Great. Well, I'm glad I can show off my tokens to myself.
No, I got a big Frost.
Okay. So you can see yourself. Excellent.
I can see Cobalt. It just has no name.
Oh, so sorry.
You should be.
Well, I've been through the forge on a frost with no name.
Also,
How about now?
Can I just take a screenshot of it?
Because I have a lot going on here.
I'm assuming during the days leading up to our departure, they told us what they exactly wanted us to do down here?
Cinder remembers,
but Zane doesn't.
All you guys know is there's a disturbance down here. You have no idea.
Okay.
But, do we know, what the forge heart is?
It's been somewhat of a mystery. There's not been a lot.
So they gave us absolutely no intel. They just said, go fix things.
They just know.
Cinder have retroactively been trying to gather at least a little bit of information about that.
All you know is there is a very select few people who can go to this place called the Forge Heart that Yig controls entrance to. Nobody really truly knows what goes on down there, but it makes wonderful weapons, armor. It's a place of crafting that things are imported, but nobody knows of. Yeah, this place was made before Groth died, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But this is... It's supposed to be where Tog forged the world. It is a absolute holy site.
Alright.
And you would know that, again, very few dwarves, the best of the best, can come to the Forge Heart and essentially serve here as acolytes.
And there's nothing that Cinder could have got by reading it between the lines of what she was told or not told about why we need to come here to, I'm just wondering maybe specifically how they knew that there was some kind of problem happening down here.
You would have known that Yig is the one who informed everybody, and Yig now refuses to go to the Forge Heart.
Okay.
Except, of course, in this situation.
Right. I think on that note, too, Cinder will kind of tell the group, just as we're taking in the sights of this entryway, just say, I put a lot of effort into trying to determine what exactly was the cause of the disturbance down here. And there is nothing. I do not know what we're getting ourselves into, but maybe we should be ready for anything.
Don't love that. Can I look around and see if I see anything dangerous or that seems out of place?
Yeah, give me a perception check.
I would also like to do that too as well.
Sure.
Can we all do it?
Yeah, whoever wants to.
I got a 27.
The 35.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
22.
21.
Yeah, 22.
Okay, so I think, Beau, you more than anybody else noticed that the tiles beneath you, although cool to the touch, likely due to some sort of magical enchantment, the ones ahead of you are glowing red in between the creases. It seems like something is not right in this place. Like, there's an imbalance, if you will, of heat and pressure. You also see scorch marks coming from the left door, but they seem to lead from the main one.
Bo will point his observations out.
From a societal standpoint, is there anything that Cinder would know about this place that might be important?
I don't think so, unfortunately.
Okay, this is a pretty, like, hush-hush, like...
Yeah, it would be
not
more...
Not a lot of written word about this place.
Why don't you give me more... Why don't you give me a religion check?
Okay.
Kiarn...
No.
Okay.
Kiarn will move slightly closer and see if she feels more heat.
The heat is increasing as you get closer, but not to a point where it's dangerous as of here. Which here is where the road splits.
She's gonna take her weapon where it looks like does it look like there's like fire or lava in the cracks?
Not fire or lava, it's just getting red hot. And it does feel warmer beneath your feet, as if the heat itself is trying to push through the magical enchantment.
And this is kind of patchwork, right? It's not like this across the entire floor, but just like you said, there's almost like a disturbance that's like compromising the magic that...
Correct. And closer...
Keeps pockets of this.
And closer to this main gate ahead of you, directly ahead, it seems to become more concentrated.
Does our perception cover, like, traps?
Yes.
Okay. Kiarn will move forward to the center of where all these paths meet.
As you move forward,
Frost and Johnny,
nothing happens.
Are the doors open?
No.
Well, in my experience, the most important things are straight ahead, but danger, that tends to come from the side.
To the left, you think?
It's the most interesting door in this room.
Tanner, I have this really interesting feat called That's Odd, and it essentially lets me notice like one thing that stands out from the environment. Obviously, there's a lot of weird stuff down here, but I don't know if you want me to read the entire description of this feat.
I would say the thing that stands out in this environment are the scorch marks that Bo had pointed out.
Right.
If that makes sense within the boundaries of that feat.
It's essentially like trying to... It's kind of a gimme for like what thing seems the most significant or out of place in a given environment.
Yeah, and I believe that would be the scorch marks, especially because this is a place that obviously deals with heat. So it would take quite excessive heat and heat coming from the top on top of the enchantment.
Okay.
Whereas the tiles seem to be heated from below.
I think maybe she kind of like seeks Bo's input on that. Just says, it seems to me that something is compromising the magic that keeps this place stable. Do you know anything about this? You know what would do this?
Can I roll something?
Like either one of you can roll Arcana.
Okay, I'll try.
I'm untrained, so I'm going to defer to Bo.
Yeah.
As Cinder asks this question, I'll reach out to Bo and cast Guidance while he's trying to remember.
Okay, and are you trained or expert in Arcana or Master?
Trained.
Okay. Go ahead and roll it.
And then it's plus one for Guidance?
Yeah.
24.
Technically, it'd also be another plus one because I'm pursuing a lead and I can confer those benefits to people that I'm talking to, so you should get another plus one on top of that.
Well,
so
is it, what is the plus? Is it a status bonus from your...
It is... share information with the triggering creature. They gain a circumstance bonus.
Okay, so there are different types of bonuses.
So they stack? Okay.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, interesting enough, I think a 25 is just enough to notice that this is an element of heat that is not from this plane. This is pure elemental fire that made these scorch marks. There is perhaps some extra planar influence from the plane of fire.
Starlet. I mean, could Star maybe like tune her senses in a little bit and try to see where it's coming from?
Yeah, I was gonna try and think of a good thing like, to use for that.
Star, why don't you give me a lore planes check?
Natural 20.
Nice.
Natural 20. Okay. Okay, so, fuck. Well, that's pretty good.
That's a 32, my guy. Tell me all your secrets.
As you... I think you kneel down and touch, just like the orange kitsune, Miasmar touched your forehead with two extended fingers. You touch the scorch mark, and you see a flash, and you see an anvil, massive, glowing on a pedestal that is surrounded with a giant rune. And a torrent of fire rips open a hole in reality. And through it comes a red-skinned, giant-sized humanoid riding on the back of a scorpion that looks like it's made of magma itself. Accompanied with two slithering, fiery creatures with the upper bodies of humans, but the lower bodies of a reptile. Engulfed in flame, an invasion of sorts from the plane of fire.
Star relays that to you guys.
Immediately.
I don't like this.
Immediately. I think if I... Scientifically, we might be fucked.
Does this...
I mean...
Vision, you saw the creatures. Do you know anything about them? Any strengths, weaknesses?
I mean, anybody, I imagine... Oh, go ahead.
Anybody can roll... based on this description here... Hold on one sec. Anybody can roll Arcana or Nature checks.
I'd like to roll Arcana.
Well, as well. Rolling a Nature.
Also, I like how we instantly like turn into like the meme, like the dog in the fire. Like, this is fine.
Yeah, pretty much.
I got That's a 13. A... What do I know?
Nothing.
I got...
Can't use my natural 20?
Sorry. I got a 20. But not a natural one.
Oh, okay.
20. No.
Okay.
With my training in nature, I got a 27.
27. Okay.
Got 24. Arcana.
Okay.
Unless I still have guidance or anything, but.
I think you already
rolled. It's a one round thing.
Yeah.
Okay. I didn't know if it stayed.
Cinder, did you roll any?
Untrained 18, so nothing.
Okay.
I'm sure.
So. Kiaren, perhaps in your... You got a 27?
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps in your studies of warfare or otherworldly threats that could potentially threaten Nykatov, you've heard of several elementals that fit these descriptions. The first one, the scorpion, is a dreaded creature, a magma scorpion, usually feral and venomous, rather, that hails from the plane of fire. You also have heard of these reptilian creatures, salamanders, evil creatures who enjoy torture and inflicting violence. However, the one that rides the scorpion that seems to lead, as according to Star's vision, you do not know.
So, just some clarification on, like, the Redeemer Paladin. Would she think she can redeem all creatures? Or would these things seem like that's just their... what they are?
I think that you Yeah, I mean, I think there might be, you know, you could, I don't know.
Or
you could
potentially, would she just think that,
I guess, but
I guess in her head, it's probably like, well, people are taught that Dolel are all bad.
That's true. But you were talking about specific creatures that invaded through a portal into this place.
Mm-hmm.
Likely causing murder and mayhem.
Differentiation between something that is evil by nature, like that is a threat to those that can be redeemed.
Yeah, it's more like, I guess, the difference between like a lion. I'm not going to be able to convince a lion to not attack because it thinks we're food.
Right. I think, yeah, I don't think you know or can consider the humanity in these creatures.
Okay.
Maybe the one you don't know about, you're not sure.
Can they be reasoned with, I guess, is more the question.
You would think unlikely.
Well, I think as these things are probably kind of being explained and pondered too, I think Cinder would be concerned, like, is this something that we can fight?
You ask that out loud?
Sure.
You can fight anything.
I mean, well, yeah. Star will say, at this point, we really don't have a choice. I need to get to Faya, and if this is the way to do it, then I guess we'll have to trust our abilities. Should we pick a door and try to go through it?
The description you gave, at least the scorpion and the giant, sound very large. This room we're currently in, do you think they could fit?
Judging by the size of the doorways, no.
They would probably be a little... This is pretty open in this area, so they could stand and whatnot, but they would have to really balance on some of these narrower walkways.
They could get through those doors?
Yes.
Okay.
So I guess I'm a little confused. Do we have to go through one of these doors to get to the fighting? Is that the idea?
Yeah, all these doors are like sealed off rooms. But this area is pretty open.
If the door on the left is the one that was being attacked, there's possibly survivors in there.
Well,
they could use our help.
Say we do kill them. I don't know that that would heal what's going on here. I think our true mission might be this portal you mentioned.
I agree. We need more information before we can make a decision.
You know what survivors usually have?
Information.
Also, if we're trying to get to the source, it would be where the scorch marks were coming from, probably. Just a thought.
Mm-hmm.
All I'm saying is we may go left first.
Can Star, like, do a perception check on this door, like, knock on it and try to figure out what the hell's going on?
You want to knock on it?
Yeah.
Hello?
Well, do you mean knocking like a, hey, who's there? Or just like checking for traps?
I mean, Star's trying to figure out what's on the other side. If it's locked, I can't really do much other than, I mean, I could try to kick it. I'm no Flint.
We don't know it's locked.
It doesn't seem like something that can lock. It seems like two double doors that you just push open.
Okay.
You said they were sealed though, so I'm confused.
Well, that was a flavor seal.
I see.
They are sealed. They're closed.
Okay. Oh, okay.
All right. I'm on your six. I'm going to draw my axe.
Should we take the stealthy approach first?
Well, you know me. I'm not so good at that, but
that's kind of why I'm asking is, like, should I move up with you?
I mean, Star was going to try to be stealthy going in here, but I mean, there's not really a whole lot of stealth behind opening a door. So I don't know how stealthy we're going to be able to be.
Yeah, just a little.
Yeah, do a little peek.
Is there a keyhole? Can I put my face on the nasty COVID ground and look under the door? There's COVID in this universe.
You can't see under the door and there's no keyhole.
Or just push it open just a crack and peek through.
Okay, roll me a stealth check.
Natural 20.
Holy shit.
It's two.
38, if you would like that.
If you please.
Okay,
Jesus.
I told you to tell me all your secrets, bud.
Inside this room is some sort of storage chamber. A crumbled statue of Tog covers the ground and stone rubble. Two of these creatures, the salamanders that Kiaran correctly identified, sift through chests and crate of storage, scattering food and gemstones across the floor, seemingly looking for something. These monstrosities slither around with long reptilian tails and are talking to each other in a strange language that sounds like a bubbling cauldron.
Nasty. Star over her shoulder. Are you guys moving up at all? Like, so she doesn't have to shout at you, or are you staying
right
where
you're at? I'm right on you, yeah.
Cinder's keeping a healthy distance.
I think that Kieran's waiting for a signal to move closer because she knows that her armor's noisy.
Right. Okay. Same with Bo. But
okay.
Not my side,
well, I guess if you guys can see me, then she will. I don't know. She'll tell Frast and just hold up like two fingers and point in the door at you guys.
Yeah. In fact, Frost is going to do his best to slither quietly back to the group and whisper what
salamanders.
This could be our chance.
Kiaran will motion for you to move to the side.
Star will back up.
He will. Or do we think?
All right, are you motioning for all of us too?
I mean, whoever's blocking the path, but assuming you move to the side, Kiaran will just charge through.
Okay.
Kieran's just getting in there.
Just running in. There's two of them. Yes. You guys want to take them out? She's going to take the lead.
Okay. Everybody right. Put themselves where they want to be on the map when combat starts.
Sarge so probably be back.
Kieran will probably move in to make room for others. So she's.
No. Kieran, you start at the door.
Oh. I thought you were saying once combat starts, I thought we were just going to push in.
Right, but it's going to start the second you open that door.
Okay.
Yes.
Frost charges after me as he sees me run.
Yeah, Frost is right on. He's, yeah.
Okay.
Cinder's a little startled by this, but yeah, she's going to pull out her crossbow and get ready. Okay. Can she see the door from where she's at?
Yes, though I will say you guys outside the door, they're going to get cover. Shooting inside the room.
That's fine.
Okay. You guys ready?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Roll initiative.
Are there any safety handrails on these
No, OSHA platforms? Would be terrified.
Sorry, just to clarify, I feel like it's been ages since we've done combat. Initiative perception, is perception, right?
Perception, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
All right, Cinder, what'd you get?
Hold on, sorry. 25.
I also got 25.
I didn't
too,
ask
if
you.
That makes it
hold
easier.
Hold on, Jesus. And you got 25 as well, Frost?
Yes, sir.
Wow.
Really, All right, Star, what'd you get?
19.
And Kieran, what did you get?
28, and I go first in a tie.
Thank God.
So we'll say your first action starts combat with you busting this door open, and we'll push you right on the other side of it. And that's where you begin. And you bust in, and these two creatures shoot their heads back at you and hiss as they grab onto these long trident-like weapons.
And
you are first to go in initiative.
I will glare at the one on the right.
Okay.
And it try to intimidate it.
Okay.
And be it. I think that she will also kind of just like, as she's looking at them, at it like glaring, she does want to know if they can understand her. And so she's going to say... surrender and we won't hurt you.
What'd you roll intimidation wise?
Natural one.
Natural one. One of them, the one you tried to glare at, turns back at you and says,
"Surrender. We shall present your head to our master."
They don't seem too intimidated.
Okay.
It makes it pretty clear for Kiaran, though, I guess, how this is going to proceed.
Is this statue, like, broken, like I could move over it?
It'll be difficult terrain, but yes, for that one square.
She will move in farther to make room for others. She's like, "Well, fair warning," and pushes it. And that is her turn, I guess, because probably the first action was breaking the door down.
No, that action did not include in combat.
Oh, okay. Then she will try to trip the one closest to the door.
Okay.
Well, actually, she probably had her weapon out charging in, so instead she's going to grapple. No, she didn't have her weapon out because they both require a free hand. She's going to trip.
Okay.
Sorry. So I'm doing athletics against reflex DC.
Okay.
Twenty-seven.
You manage to get your... You have no weapon, you said?
Yeah, no weapon out at the moment.
You manage to get under this reptilian serpentine torso and pull, and this creature falls prone.
That's my turn.
All right, and now it is his turn, so he is going to take one action to stand up, which I believe would incur...
Oh, does that give an attack of opportunity?
I believe so.
Which I can't... Can I use things like trip as an attack of opportunity? Probably not, so I guess...
No, you can make a strike.
I'll try to just unarmed strike it since I don't have my weapon out yet. No, I'm not going to do it. I'll hold my reaction.
Okay. This creature uses an action to stand up. And then... it's going to attempt to attack you with its Rancor, as it just says,
"Die, interloper!"
Does a 29 hit you?
Exactly.
Okay. Max damage on 2d10. So you're going to take 27 slash piercing damage as he stabs you with this trident and then pulls it out, and he is going to stoke his internal flames with his last actions, and you see this coating of fire cover him, flickering off his form, giving him a bonus to AC and potentially making it difficult for you to attack him without taking fire damage. And it is the other one's turn. Behind you, it's going to pivot, so it is now flanking you. And instead of attacking you with its Rancor, it's going to try to wrap its tail around you and grab you. A 20 does not hit, that's correct?
No.
Okay, so he tries to wrap its tail around and you just kind of push it off. And then he's going to take his Rancor and try to pierce you in the back. 25? Flat-footed?
Nope.
Damn. Okay. With his final move, he is going to also stoke its internal flames and cover itself in an armor of flame. Cinder Lafayette, it is now your turn.
Going to make a strategic assessment against this first. I don't know, I guess for argument's sake, Kieran's not pinning one, she just knocked one prone.
Correct.
She already got back up one. Though.
Okay.
Correct.
Yeah, I'm gonna pre-roll a d20 and see how that goes. Okay, nice. 15. Yeah, I think Cinder's going to make an attack on this one, because I'm assuming this is one that she could probably see the best from her angle.
Okay.
And you said it's going to have partial cover?
It is going to have partial cover being there.
Okay, that's fine. So 15, shooting with a crossbow, it's going to be a... Yeah.
Sorry. Go ahead. Sorry.
It's going to be a 31 to hit.
That is a hit.
Okay. So it's going to take... Also, with a crossbow, how many times can I attack per turn? Is it still one attack per action?
One attack per action.
Okay.
Does it have the reload trait?
I don't think so.
I'll look into it. Go ahead and resolve your thing.
Okay. That is going to be 7 piercing damage.
7 piercing, and that is to the one closest to you, you said?
Yeah, this one right here. That's further towards the door in that room. And also, was that a... That wasn't a crit success, was it?
No, no.
Okay. Okay, and then she's, yeah, just gonna make... Actually, I think I'll probably try to do a recall knowledge, too, just to see if I know anything about these creatures now that I've actually seen them.
Okay.
So what would that be? Would that be a...
That would be either nature or arcana, I believe.
Okay. 28.
28? Okay, what would you like to know?
If they're weak to anything.
They are weak to cold.
Okay. I probably could have guessed that, but now
it's good to Cinder confirm. Goes. Good to confirm.
Does she know what they are called? Like what their name is?
They are called salamanders.
Okay. So yeah, I think out loud, Cinder does just say to the rest of the group, "Salamanders, they're weak to cold." And then she looses an arrow at one of these things and nails it.
Okay.
Real quick, Tan, I totally forgot that the whole reason I wanted a Gwiss arm, which I just got, is because it can trip with my hands full. Can I say my weapons out?
Sure.
Okay, thanks.
Fine, fine, fine. We'll say you drew it before you came in, knowing full well how your weapon works. Okay. And that was all your actions there, Cinder?
Yeah.
Okay. Bo Cantrell, it is your turn.
Okay. I was looking at Chill Touch, but it doesn't actually do cold. So,
yeah.
I think I'll just do what I had planned on, and everyone else is gonna be able to move through me if I'm blocking a hallway, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And cast Bless.
Okay. And you're reading the remaster rules for Bless, right?
I mean, I think that's something you just turned on my character sheet. So yeah, I think so.
Okay.
It's an emanation, 15-foot emanation, plus 1 status bonus to attack rolls.
Okay. So, does that include everybody in 15 feet? Who's in 15 feet?
Kieran. And Frost, so far.
Okay. Great, Kieran and Frost, you are blessed. And looking it up, Cinder, it looks like you only have to use an action to reload for heavy crossbows, I believe.
Okay, so I can have up to 3 attacks per turn?
Yes.
Seems kind of generous.
Well, I mean, you do take the multiple attack penalty, so.
That's true, yeah, but still, if I hit all those, that's a lot of damage I can do.
Yeah, if. All right, is that your turn, Bo?
Yep.
All right, and for the first time ever, Frost.
Next time on, when we head back on this next week.
Frost, it is your turn.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Frost has been looking like hell as character sheet. How was Rage supposed to be a custom buff? Because I don't have it anymore, if so.
Yeah, you found inner peace. You don't get that anymore. Sorry.
It was a custom buff. But yeah, you do not have it.
I got the menacing rune, but I don't have the rage.
I actually... Oh. There you go. Now you're raging.
Thank you.
Weird.
Okay. Yeah. I think Frost, seeing these salamanders who had such a ruthless response to, like, somebody who at least made an attempt to spare them, and, like, went so hard on her immediately. He's gonna get fucking pissed off. He's gonna, like, slam his axe into the ground, vault over Bo's head into this room. And, he's gonna say, "She may have spared you, but I never would." And, bring his axe down on this thing's head.
Okay. Roll to hit.
So excited to have a barbarian in the party.
Me too. Mm-hmm.
Hell yeah. I'm gonna use my reroll on that. It wasn't
you can't
in that
miss
one.
Your first hit.
No, I can't. Rolling again. If it's better than a 3. Jesus fuck. Okay, it's another 3. That's a 20 to hit.
20 is a miss.
No.
Okay, well, that's 3 actions. Raging, moving, and swinging.
All right.
To be fair, it looked really cool.
It did look pretty cool.
Now the rages can be out of control in the beginning. It's okay. You'll hone in.
Yeah, you'll get there,
Brad. Every time you raise it and go to hit again, recalculating.
I can't believe I rolled a 3, used a reroll, and rolled a 3.
No.
Yeah, that's pretty good. I've rolled 2 nat 1s, I think, in the last 2 sessions.
Okay. Starlit Moonbow, it is your turn.
I think Star is going to move up some. She put herself a little too far back, but that's okay. Let's see. Was it right here? I think it was right there.
You have entered the bliss.
Woo!
Welcome.
Thank you. Okay. Can she... Is there any way to see either of these dudes from where she's at? Like, maybe the one in the corner over here?
You can, but I'm going to give him cover. I'm going to give him +4 for cover, because you're shooting through Bo, Frost, Kiaren.
Yeah, I was going to say that's also... but I can try to shoot through them, right?
Yeah.
Or around? Is a better way of putting that?
Through
that. Definitely a bottleneck going on here.
Yep. I was kind of hoping
we didn't
could
do
get
the best
them
job of describing
out.
This for a listening audience, but this path leading up to this door from the main room is incredibly narrow.
Yeah,
also
this
room
is
very
only
tiny.
20 feet by 20 feet by 15.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a small combat.
Star is going to yell at her friends, try and pull them out here if you can. And then she's going to roll to hit. Let's see. +26?
Unfortunately, with the cover, does not hit. It flies, but gets knocked off balance by a side of the wall. Or okay. Door frame, rather.
She's gonna give it one more go.
Okay.
29.
Unfortunately, the same thing. Very close. It comes within an inch of its head, but misses.
Oh, well. She mostly wanted to get her message across, try to pull everyone back out if she can.
And Kiaren, it is now your turn.
It really sucks that, like, both of them go right after me. Kind of gets rid of...
That is a little
some
brutal.
Of the benefits of... Though I thought Trip gives them flat-footed, but I guess it doesn't.
Off-balance, you mean?
Off-balance, that's right.
Yep,
thank
sorry.
You, Zane.
Off-balance.
You are flat-footed if you're prone.
You are. Okay, yeah. I was reading prone and it didn't say that.
You're
oh, you are flat-footed. I just looked right over it. Okay.
Yeah.
I will try to glare at the one behind me that I didn't glare at previously.
Okay.
Nice, that's much better. That is a 34 against their will DC.
That is a six. They failed, rather.
Is it a crit fail?
No.
Okay.
Wait, you said will DC?
Yeah, will DC.
And you said 34? 34. That is a crit fail.
Sweet. It's frightened 2 then.
Okay.
Since that one is frightened 2, I will turn my attention to it and try to trip it.
Okay.
Well, that's a natural 1. So instead of falling prone myself as part of my weapon, I can drop the weapon.
Okay.
To make it a regular fail.
All right. Drop your weapon.
And since I don't have my weapon in hand, I will try to grapple the frightened creature.
Okay.
Which now has an attack penalty, I believe.
Yeah, you should be using your multiple attack penalty for that one. And this is reflex DC for grapple?
For grapple, it is a fortitude DC.
Okay.
So 17 plus 18 is 35. And then minus 5, so 30. And it's frightened, so it has a minus 2 to its fortitude DC.
Okay, then that is a success. Not a critical success.
Okay. So this creature's grappled, which is giving it flat-footed.
Okay. All right, it is the salamander's turn. This salamander, between Frost and Kiaren, is going to turn to Frost. This kobold that just swung a massive axe at him is going to attempt to pierce you with its rancor. Does a 26 hit?
Yes, it does.
Okay. Glimpse of redemption.
Redemption, okay.
So assuming it still hits after I glance over and in its, my face, it can see that it could right its wrongs if it just stops.
No.
Frost will gain resistance of 10.
Okay. So you
and the creature will become enfeebled too.
Okay.
Until the end of its next turn.
Okay, so you would have taken 15 damage, but instead you take 5 piercing damage.
That's fine. Oh,
thank you.
And since it is now feeling weaker, like, I'm not so strong because I feel bad, it's going to use its agile tail instead to try and damage and grab you. That might be a crit. No, I don't think so. 28.
Hit, not crit.
Okay. You're going to take 8 bludgeoning damage and 3 fire damage.
Was that with the enfeebled? Is your AC 26? I don't know. But...
It used an agile attack instead of, its strength attack because you did
enfeebled. So
enfeebled
doesn't matter. Okay.
I mean, it matters. It lowered its to hit. So relax.
Okay.
I don't believe I have a weakness to fire.
I don't think you do.
So that was 8 and how many?
8 and 3.
And 3. Okay.
And then
I have so many hit points. The slider is hard to like hit just one specific hit point with.
And you are now grabbed. And now that it has you grabbed, it no longer has to roll to hit. So it is going to constrict you for its final action. And you are going to take 8 bludgeoning and 2 fire.
All right.
And the other salamander is currently grabbed and frightened.
Which, did me grabbing it make me take fire damage?
Oh, yes, actually. Thank you for reminding me. Give me a reflex save.
27.
You're all right. So it is the salamander that you're currently grabbing. He is going to try to escape the grapple with an athletics check, even though he is frightened. So he rolls a 27.
Escaping is against my...
I don't know. Oh, escape. You attempt to escape from being grabbed. Choose one creature. Attempt to check using unarmed attack against the DC of that effect. So it's typically
so like
the...
roll?
No, typically the athletics DC of the creature grabbing you.
Okay. My athletics... The DC's 10 plus, so that would be 28.
Okay, so he... Because he is frightened, fails. He's struggling, tries to get out, and he's like, let me go! But he's trembling in this fear. So actually, for the second action, he's going to try the same thing.
And that has the attack penalty?
I don't know, but he rolled a natural 20. So he escapes the grapple.
Okay.
I don't think... Yes, it does have the attack, so... I guess let me tell you the total, and we'll see... Well, either way, he escapes the grapple.
Either way, it'd be a crit, right?
Yeah. So he escapes the grapple, and for his last action, is going to turn to you and try to hit with his lowest attack bonus. And he's like, how dare you touch me? Ooh, I rolled a 19, so a 27. Oh, but he's frightened too. 25.
Misses.
Okay. All right, Cinder, it is now your turn.
And he goes down to frightened 1 at the end of his turn, I believe.
That is correct.
This one on the north side of the room is still grappling Frost.
Yes.
I'm going to devise a stratagem to see if I have a good shot on him or not. So, let me roll.
And real quick, the enfeebled condition, when does that go down, Latar?
Enfeebled, that was at the end of the next turn.
End of your next turn?
No, the creature's next turn.
Okay. Because it went, so it would be gone now?
No, the next turn. That was on its turn that it happened.
Right, okay.
Does this one still have a significant amount of cover, just considering the shot I would have to make while it's grappling Frost?
Yes.
Okay. I think that she's not confident about that shot, so she's not going to take it. Instead, she is going to I want to make a perception check just behind us, because there's a lot going on in between me and the action. I want to make sure there's nothing coming up from the rear.
Excellent. Roll a perception check.
Okay. Good fucking God, that's the third nat one I've rolled, so no.
Yeah, you have no idea, unfortunately.
Okay. I don't really know what else I can do here. So...
Do you want to move at all?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, let me move up. Since I'm a small-sized creature, too, people can move past me on this bridge, right?
Yeah, that's fine.
I'm not blocking everybody in. Okay, yeah, I'm going to move up behind... Move up in between Star and Beau, actually.
Okay. Beau.
And that's it for my turn.
Beau, it is now your turn.
Okay.
Wow, you got a lot of fucking conditions there, Frost.
Oh, yeah, I know.
I think I'm just going to cast Spiritual Weapon and attack with it.
Okay. Which one are you attacking?
The one closest.
Okay.
No. 19.
19 total?
Yeah.
That is a miss.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Alright. Was that your turn?
Sustain means to recast, kind of, effectively, right?
No, it's just one action to sustain.
Okay. I mean, I can sustain Bless to make it bigger, but I'm kind of thinking maybe I don't really need to anyway. So, okay. Maybe not.
Okay. Frost, it is now your turn.
Yeah, I think Frost, upon being grabbed, I think he's gonna just kind of chuckle to himself. Oh, I'm not going anywhere. And, his axe, which this salamander seemingly nimbly dodged on his first strike and is now like kind of stuck almost into the stone. Frost is going to flip it over and swing it from underneath and try to attack this bad mamma jamma. One time or two times? So I'm checking something real quick, sorry.
You're good.
Two times. He's going to try to bring this axe up through the salamander's body and then back right down through it.
All right, give me the first attack.
Twenty-five
is... Oh, boy. Look here. 25 is a miss. Just barely.
Is it 28?
That is a hit.
All right. Yeah, I think it probably dodges like on the way up, thinking that it's so much quicker than Frost because it's a little slow to like pick it up from the ground, but it's fucking surprised how fast he turns around in the air and brings it back down. And he does, ooh, almost max damage, 36.
Ooh,
nice.
This axe comes back down and lands right into the salamander's shoulder.
And I think as Frost kind of grins and frost mist starts coming from between his teeth, like condensation, he's going to look at Kiaren. He's going to say, "Do you feel what I feel?"
Lucky.
If that's what you call it. And Kiaren will gain the rage custom buff.
Oh.
But with the ability to still use concentrate feats as I use my share rage class feat.
Ooh. Ooh, what the fuck? Okay.
See, I told
yeah.
you.
Yeah. Zane nice. Ruined the surprise, by the way.
I did, yeah.
I know I did, but you acted really well. That was... I applaud you.
And we are going to Thanks, delve yeah. into a raging Kiaren. Next week on the Reroll Gaming Podcast.
Who did combat scary?
Hell yeah.
This is a rough combat. Oh, this is a small room. Hard to.
This kind of sucks, Tanner.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Think about that, though.
Yeah.
If Frost had hit the other two times that he swung his axe, how many fucking damage right. you would have done at this point?
Yeah.
Yeah. I know. I was really hoping I could give you that, like.
How many less lizards there would be in this room?
Welcome to the Reroll Gaming Podcast, where I, Tanner Prentice, guide five of my closest friends through an original adventure playing the tabletop role-playing game Pathfinder 2nd Edition. In the world of Rell, five strangers brought together a resistance under the shadow of the Blackreach Empire. Until everything changed. A villain and former lover named Hogoth fractured the planes of existence, ushering in an endless night and an era of undeath. All in the name of an undying dragon, Zarox. Now, the fate of Rell is left to these five adventurers.
My name is Ayla, and I play Bo Cantrell, a fallen Asimar and cleric, with Cosmios, the god of fate, as my deity.
Hi, my name is Zane, and I play Cinder Lafayette, the halfling investigator with a dicey past.
My name is Octavia, and I play Starlit Moonbow. Star, as she's better known by her companions, is on a mission to save her true love, Faya, from the Maiden of Spiders.
Hi, my name is Latara, and I play Kiaren Nimone the Sadistic, the Dolel champion of Emin, who yearns for that redemption that is so far out of her reach.
I'm Brendan Geyer.
And I am Frost, your new favorite kobold barbarian. Honor-bound to protect and serve Groth's party. And oath-bound to finish his mission.
These five heroes are the last best hope to save Rell. But can they overcome this darkness that spreads under the shattered sky? Find out now on the Reroll Gaming Podcast.